Good morning, church. Please remain standing for the reading of the word. This morning's reading will be 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel and said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel that the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity of that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not refrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
You may be seated. Thanks, Floyds. Appreciate that today. Rich and Linda Floyd, they've been a member of LifePoint for a while. We're so grateful for them. Grateful for them reading this morning. Grateful for them being here. And we're so grateful that you're here this morning. It's been a great weekend so far. There's a crispness in the air. College football is back. Tomorrow we have off, so it's like, hopefully you have off, all right? But it's a good weekend, and we are glad that you're here today. I am super excited that you're here in God's house today. You made it a priority for you and your family to be at church today, and that's a big deal. And so we don't take that lightly. We are glad that you're here. And as Pastor R.C. said, we're just grateful that you're in the house today. And we're grateful that you're here to hear a word from the Lord. As we are continuing through our Kingdom Come series, really excited about this series. I've really enjoyed walking through this series with our pastor as he's been teaching us over the past couple of weeks. And we're in week three. And as we think about what's happened over the past couple of weeks, we've seen a mother and father, Hannah and Elkanah, hand their son Samuel over to the priest Eli for the service of the Lord. And he's been serving him for about 9 years now. Samuel is 12 years old. He's been ministering alongside Eli, and he's been watching Eli in the temple. He's been watching Eli serve the Lord, but he's also been watching how Eli has dealt with his wayward sons and the disobedience of his wayward sons. And so we get to this portion of the text where the word of the Lord was very rare. It was rare to hear from God, and there was no vision of God. There was no word of the Lord until we get to this chapter. And we see that many people here were longing for a word from the Lord. And it reminded me of something when I was growing up. I grew up in the great state of Georgia, and during the middle 90s, actually early 90s, something happened in the next county over from us. There was a Catholic homemaker, Nancy Fowler. She claimed that on the 13th day of every month, that the Virgin Mary would visit her and give her warnings and signs to tell the people that were around not only the county but around the world. And then on the 13th day of October of every year, when you smelled roses in the air, Mary is about to give a vision. And she would make a public proclamation to everyone that would come around. And it said that 80 to 100,000 people would show up on her farm to hear a word from God delivered from Mary, delivered from Nancy. And so many people would show up. And it was so crazy. There was bumper stickers in our hometown, or in my hometown and around the area, that said, Conyers, Georgia, eat, sleep, and see Mary. It was pretty awesome. I wish I had one of those. But I mean, why would people drive from all over to hear, or to Conyers, Georgia, honestly, to hear anything? Well, they were hungry to hear from the Lord. And it's easy to say those crazy Catholics looking for a sign again, that, you know, it's easy to say that. But us Baptists, we do that too, don't we? We say it a little more subtle though. We say things like, well, I really feel the Lord calling me to do this. Or the Lord spoke to me, told me I should move or take this job. I just felt impressed by the Spirit. That's a popular one, impressed by the Spirit. I mean, we do it in those subtle ways. And what's crazy is I've seen people leave churches that way. Well, I feel God calling me away to this. And really, it's God not calling you away. It's because you have a confrontation that's in the church that needs to be dealt with. Or you're looking to be comforted by a watered-down, self-centered theology that you want to hear for yourself. So God's not really calling you away. You're just doing what you want to do. It's pretty interesting because we all do want to hear a kingdom call. I think all of us in this room want to hear some type of call from the Lord. We want to hear God's voice. We want to hear something from Him. And maybe you used to hear from God. Maybe you say in your life, man, I used to hear from God, but He seems distant. Or you've heard from the Lord and you really didn't like what He had to say, so you didn't do it. You chose not to because you didn't necessarily want to do it. So let me ask you a question today. Let me pose a question. How should we respond to the call of the Lord? How should we respond to the call of the Lord? If you are taking notes, if you're writing anything down, I would love for you to walk away. This is our central truth today. This is what I want you to walk away with. This is what we're going to kind of unpack today. We should respond to the call of the Lord in obedience because God's call is for His glory and our good. His glory and our good. So we should respond in obedience. And that's what we see in 1 Samuel chapter 3 today. That's what we see in our text. And we see three insights to how God called Samuel and what he did in his life. And I think that those same insights apply to our lives as well today. So let's look at our first point, our first insight, God's call to Samuel. God's call to Samuel. Let's look at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent visions. Now when we think about this, this first verse sets the stage. It sets the tone for the rest of what's about to happen in chapter 3. I mean, we get a glimpse of the spiritual state of Israel. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were no visions. There was no frequent vision. And this isn't saying that the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, weren't available. It was just saying that there had been no prophet to speak the word of the Lord. There's been silence for about 50 to 100 years at this point. And because of this, because there's been no prophet, Scripture says that everyone was doing right in their own eyes. They were being led by their own emotions, by their own desires, by their own feelings. And so they did whatever they wanted to do. And so it would be easy to think that God was just being silent just because he was being quiet. But no, his silence was judgment on Israel. It was judgment on Israel. And as we see this, as it unpacks, we go into verse 2. Let's look at it. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. I mean, if we were to really look at this, we see a lot of symbolism in this verse, in verse 2. I mean, Eli's in his normal sleeping spot as the priest, he would have his own priestly quarters. So he was away from the most holy place, which was right outside the Holy of Holies. But yet his physical position is indicative of his spiritual condition. His physical position is indicative of his spiritual condition. He was away from the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. But who was there? Samuel was there. Samuel was right outside where the lamp would be burning all night. So it would be lit in the evening and it would burn all night until the morning. And so that lamp being lit was growing dim, but why would we don't ever look past Scripture and go, well, why did he put that in there? That doesn't mean a lot. No. It's symbolizing hope that through the silence of God, God still had a plan. That he had something to do. And I mean, we think about Eli's blindness. God's silence, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. I mean, suggesting that God had not abandoned his people. And so Samuel is lying there, and he gets awakened by hearing his voice called. You know, Samuel, Samuel. And he jumps up. He says, here I am. And he runs to Eli. He goes into Eli's quarters. And have you ever had your kids wake you up in the middle of the night? I know as a parent, it like freaks you out, really. I mean, it's like, what in the world? I have no doubt that that's exactly what happened to Eli. He gets woken up in the middle of the night, and he says, you've called me. He says, I haven't called you. Just go back to sleep. It's all good. And he's very effectual to him. He loves him. He says, my son, but go back in there. It's all good. Go back to sleep. And so he kind of pushes him back, and Eli rolls over, goes back to sleep. Samuel goes back to his sleeping quarters, which is in the most holy place. And yet, what do we see here? Right out of the gate, Samuel's obedience. He heard a call and he thought it was Eli, and he immediately jumped up. He immediately went and he talked to Eli, and Eli told him to go lie back down. And what did he do? He obeyed and went to lay back down. That's very important not to miss, because we see in verse 7. Let's look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. So he hears the voice, and Eli's trying to explain it to him. He's like, I don't understand, because he did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The phrase, did not yet know the Lord, is the same phrase that's found in chapter 2, verse 12, the one that we talked about last week with Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's two worthless sons. But that's not what the scripture's explaining to us about Samuel. He's not worthless like Hophni and Phinehas. They had rejected God's commandments. They had rejected God's law. And we see here, they had been in the presence of the Lord. They had even been in the temple. They had gone to church, but they did not know the Lord. And so the scripture explains why Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Let's look at the rest of that. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Samuel did not know the Lord in a personal way. He did not know God in a personal way. Of course, he knew about him. He'd been ministering for him, but he did not know him in a personal way. He had not yet experienced the call of God in his life. But here, God calls Samuel by name. By name. Look at verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. He was obedient. Again, we see this throughout the scripture. But Samuel needed Eli to help him discern the voice of the Lord. He needed Eli to help him realize what was going on. And I think, I truly, as I was studying this, I wonder if Eli, it dawned on him in that moment. He remembered the voice of the Lord that he hadn't heard in so long. I wonder, I mean, he loved Samuel. And I'm curious to think, if he knew at that moment, God's got something to say to him, you have to listen, you have to listen. It wasn't Eli that was calling, but it was his Lord that was calling. Because Samuel would not only be a priest, he would be a prophet. He would be God's mouthpiece to Israel. I mean, but before Samuel could serve, he had to know the Lord. Samuel had to know the Lord. And the same is true for us. Before we can serve the Lord, you have to know the Lord. What Samuel was experiencing is what we consider the effectual call of God. God was calling him out. The Spirit was drawing him. There was nothing that could take that away. He couldn't do anything. This was an irresistible call, and Samuel had to respond. He had to respond to it. I mean, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of Ordo Salutis? Have you ever heard of Ordo Salutis? That's not the latest Marvel superhero, okay? All right, Ordo Salutis is a Latin term for the order of salvation. The order of salvation. And it's laid out in Romans 8. Romans 8. We've got this verse. Let's look at verses 29 and 30 here. "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." I mean, that's the order of God's saving work. We are foreknown. We are predestined. We are called. We are justified. And ultimately, we will be glorified. This is the golden chain of redemption. And this is how it worked in Samuel's life, but this is also how it works in our lives as well. This is how we are called to saving redemption through Christ, through grace, and by faith alone. That's it. There's nothing we do. There's nothing that Samuel did on his own to deserve it. It was all done through God. And there was nothing Samuel could do to get around it. God was drawing him to himself. Now let me ask this question. Have you heard the voice of God calling you? Has God called you by name? For many of you in this room, I think he has. He's called you, and you've answered, and you've gone to him, and it was all because of what he's done, nothing that you've done. You've answered that call. And that's the biggest thing, that's the biggest call that we would ever answer in our lives. But if you don't know him and you have not answered the call to salvation today, God forbid you walk out of those doors and you get in your car and you leave this place without knowing God as your Savior. That has been my prayer for you all week. That if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. That you would not leave this place, because when you have heard and experienced the call of God, your life is radically different, radically changed, because he gives you a mission. He gives you something to do, just like Samuel was given a mission. And that's what we see in our second point. For in order for God to work through Samuel and for Samuel to be obedient to the call of God, he had to know God first. And once he knew God, we get to our second point today, our second insight. We see God's commission to Samuel, God's commission to Samuel. Have you ever said yes to something that was really hard to say yes to? You ever said yes to something? I mean, I think about maybe a buddy says, hey, let's work out tomorrow, and you're all gung-ho, you know it's going to be good for your body, and you're all excited, but you know there's only 1 5 o'clock in your day. Like, seriously. Or your boss tells you at work, hey, we've got this project, and I really need you to stay late on Friday. We have to get it done, and it'll be good for your career, but your weekend plans are already set. You know, but you have to say you have to say yes. Or maybe you have a friend that's moving into town, and you're so excited about them moving, but yet it's on the weekend of the Georgia-Tennessee game, and you're like, I so want to help. Yes, I'll help you. I mean, these are examples of hard yeses. There are hard yeses in our life to go through. I mean, here God comes to Samuel for the fourth time. God comes to Samuel for the fourth time. And he didn't call Samuel from a distance like he did before. He came up on Samuel. And that closeness that the Lord is showing Samuel is necessary for what he's about to tell Samuel. I mean, the Lord would tell Samuel that the nation of Israel is about to be judged, that Hophni and Phinehas are going to die, the ultimate end of Eli's reign as priest, that the Ark of the Covenant would even be taken away. These were big deals. I mean, we see this when we read the passage, 2 ears of everyone who hears will tingle. This means that this is terrible, terrible news that God is giving Samuel. And so that's why God came near. And this shook Samuel. And we see that in verse 15. Samuel lay until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. I have no doubt. I have no doubt that Samuel didn't get a bit of sleep after he heard from the Lord. He probably laid there looking up at the canvas ceiling of the temple or the tabernacle and just thinking about what God is going to do. How am I going to tell him? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? This was massive judgment that was about to come down. And so Eli had heard from the Lord before and remembered God spoke to Samuel. I've got to know what he's going to say. I got to hear what he's going to say. So he goes, tell me. Not even just tell me. He says, you need to tell me right now. And if you don't tell me, may it be to you even more so from what God told you. And so what did Samuel do? He was obedient. He had a choice. Samuel had a choice right there to be disobedient to the call of God or be obedient to what God had commissioned him to do. Look at verse 18. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. God was calling Samuel to be the greatest prophet that time had ever seen, who ever lived. But yet he needed to be trusted with this little act of obedience, albeit very difficult. In the grand scheme of what we're going to unpack over the next several weeks, this was the first step of obedience that he had to do. He had to say yes to this hard yes. But how could he? How could he say yes? Well, it should be very obvious to us why he said yes. Because we've seen his character all throughout this section so far. He was constantly obedient. He chose the hard yes because he was always obedient. A.W. Tozer says this, most Christians don't hear God's voice because we've already decided we aren't going to do what he says. Many times we don't obey what God says because honestly, God knows that we're not going to do it. We'll come up with some excuses to not be obedient to the Lord's call in our life. God calls you to share the gospel with someone at work. God, they're going to ignore me. They're not going to say anything to me. They're not going to respond to your gospel. God calls you to confess a sin in your life. Why should I confess? It's just between me and myself. Nobody else knows. It'll be all right. God tells you to serve the church. I can't serve the church. I'm not equipped enough. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to lead. God calls you to join a group. I can't give up another night of the week. I've got baseball and soccer and work. I've got all these things. When am I going to rest? Why should I join a group? God calls you to tithe. How can I tithe 10% off of nothing right now? God, I can't do this. I can't do that. Why would I do that? Let me ask you, have you ever found yourself saying any of these excuses? I know I have. I know I have. And we wonder why we don't hear from God more. We've already made it up in our mind that we're not going to listen in the first place. And none of these will hold up before a holy God. None of these excuses will. We look out for our glory and we think it's God's good when we do this. I mean, obedience to the Lord is hard. It's difficult. Being obedient to God is difficult. I remember in between my junior and senior year, God called me into ministry. And I'll never forget the moment. God didn't show up. I didn't see. He wasn't so close that I could see him. Smoke didn't fill the room I was in. In fact, I was in my mom's 1992 Buick Regal. So, I mean, that's where God called me. And I was driving to a friend's house, and I just felt through the Spirit that God had called me. And I thought, okay, God, you're calling me into ministry, and I'll do that after I graduate high school, after I graduate college. I'll intern at a church somewhere. I'll get married, and then I'll be a full-time minister to the gospel. And yet, my senior year, all I wanted to do was be made known for myself. God called me into ministry then. Not later on down in life. And I wasted my senior year. I wanted to be known instead of making God known to my friends. Listen, I was obedient, but it was way down the line. And you know what that is? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Men, you're not going to lead a small group if you're not leading at home. You'll never lead at church if you're not leading at home. Women, you're not going to manage your home well if you're not honoring God's design for the home. Children, you're not going to live long in the land if you're not obedient to your parents. I mean, when God commissions us to do something, it may be difficult. It may sound hard at the moment, but we have to remember who's calling us. We have to remember who's commissioning us. It's the Lord, and it's for His glory. It's for His glory. One of my favorite Bible studies I did when I was younger, I've done it several times, is called Experiencing God. Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Experiencing God. And I love this. He says, he walks through the life of Moses, and he says there's five ways that God reveals Himself to us or speaks to us. And I've used this often because I think they're absolutely true. And when you hear them, you're like, man, this is really easy. Through the Holy Spirit, through the church, through circumstances, through prayer, and through the Bible. Through the Bible. The Holy Spirit, through the church, through circumstances, through prayer, and through the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, I'm convinced more than any other way that God speaks to us is through His Word. I'm convinced of that. I mean, if you want a word from the Lord, you know what you need to do? You need to pick up the word of the Lord. It's right here. God will give you direction through the word of God. I mean, remember what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16? One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. I mean, the hard, yes, is worth it. The hard yes is worth it, especially when it comes to the commission of God, when He's telling you to do something. As Charles Stanley said, I love this quote, God is responsible for the consequences of our obedience, but we are responsible for the consequences of our disobedience. Whew. What God was revealing to His glory to Samuel, when God was revealing His glory to Samuel, and why he did it was because of His obedience. May we be the same way. When God calls us to do something, we don't wait around. We don't delay. We are obedient now. we are obedient now. So we've looked at the call to Samuel, and we've seen God's commission to Samuel, but we see one more important piece of the puzzle here. We see one more piece of the puzzle, God's commendation to Samuel. God's commendation to Samuel. Now, I can almost assure you and bet, I'm willing to bet two tacos, that you have not used the word commendation in your vocabulary this week. I haven't used it in the past month, all right? Probably the last year. But because I'm a pastor, I need really good alliteration, and it fits really well with the C's that we have, call, commission, commendation, okay? So what is commendation? It means to commend, to praise, to give approval to, and we see that here in our text. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Because of Samuel's obedience and faithfulness, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. He not only was with him, he blessed every word that he said. He established him as a prophet. I mean, and not only that, he appeared to Samuel. He was there with Samuel. God's silence was broken in this scene right here in chapter 3. I mean, talk about a commendation from the Lord. He was just given that. It reminds me of another call and commission and commendation that Jesus says in Matthew 28. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. What's the call? Well, the Greek word for go, it literally means as you are going. So the call is for us to go. Go. What's the commission? To make disciples of all nations. All nations. That means here and abroad. To all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Making disciples is a commission. But notice what the word says in verse 21. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The Lord was with him. We see that in verse 19. And when the Lord was with him, Jesus said, I will be with you always. When God calls you and he commissions you to do something, guess what? He's going to walk with you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's going to be right with you. But the question is, are you going to be obedient when he calls you to do something? Will you give him an opportunity to commend you for your obedience? Will you give him that? I mean, remember what we've talked about, this golden chain of redemption. What was the last one? That we will be glorified. So think about it. We have this moment of commendation right now where Jesus is with us. But one day when we are glorified with God, I hope to hear, and I hope you would hear these same words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Talk about a commendation. That's what we want to hear. I mean, remember back. We should respond to the call of the Lord in obedience because it's for his glory and our good. I mean, think about it. When we're obedient, think about the things I mentioned earlier. Men, when you start leading your family, God will open up doors for you to lead in the church and lead other people. He will. Women, when you start submitting to God's design in the home, you will start to manage your home well. Children, when you're obedient to your parents, check this out. You will live long in the land. That's good news. Just be obedient to your parents. I mean, I think back about that story of Nancy Fowler that we were talking about and her visions. Well, that all her. She did her last vision in 1998. That was the last time she said, Mary said she's not coming back. She's not showing me anymore. And some digging started happening around the Nancy Fowler story. Came to find out that the Catholics did not give her any recognition for her Marian apparitions that she was seeing. Also, there was some digging into her finances, and Nancy started charging parking. I don't know, 10, 12 bucks. But also, not just parking, entrance into her farm. And over the 9 years that she was giving these announcements, she racked up over $4 million. It even gets better. A local crop duster comes forward and said, after a couple of years, that said, around October, I was paid to spray a rose scent around Conyers, Georgia. And I think about all the people that showed up to hear a word from the Lord and they left empty-handed. They smell, Mary's coming, I smell roses. Mary's coming, a word from the Lord's coming because Nancy's about to tell us it's the 13th of October. I mean, think about this. Hebrews 11 says, long ago at many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God's not going to reveal himself in clouds or in visions or smells. He's revealed himself to us through his Son, Jesus. And he can do that through Christ. And so today, maybe you're here and God is calling some of you very simply to salvation. He's calling you to salvation. Maybe he's calling some of you in this place to just repentance. You need to repent for your sins, turn the opposite direction. Maybe, just maybe, some of you are in here being called to serve the Lord. And I am talking about serving the Lord in our ministries that we have here, but maybe he's calling you deeper. Maybe he's calling you to serve the Lord in ministry. Maybe, just maybe, God's calling you just to be obedient for tomorrow, to wake up and read your Bible. That first piece of obedience. Because I'll say this, if you're waiting on a sign from the Lord, this is it. Here it is. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We have Christ. And when God calls us to do something, we should respond in obedience because our response to his call is for his glory and our good. And our response to God's call should be very simple. It should be just like Samuel. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. I'm here. Your servant's listening. Speak, Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, maybe in this place, God, there's someone here that needs to respond to your salvation call. And they need to just simply say, speak, Lord. You're calling them by name, and they just need to respond with, seek, Lord. Or, yes, Lord, speak, Lord. Maybe someone here you're talking to about a call to repentance. May they have that same response, a call to ministry, a call to serve you. Whatever you're calling them to do, Lord, I pray that today they would be obedient to you, King Jesus. They would be obedient to you. Would you call them and may we be responding with a heart of obedience today. Lord, we love you and we trust you. It's for your glory, God, that we are obedient to you. As we end our time together,